Radio Mano Papachango.
Happy 2022, everybody. Strange times we live in. This is a special episode. I'm just going to talk for a little while. I'm going to play some music. I don't know what music I'm going to play, so I'm not going to be able to tell you what it is before I play it. I'm going to decide that later. And I'll just add it in. And if you're interested in finding what it is I played, go to the website and look at the episode notes. I'll put it all in there. Or if you download this on an app and you have a description, you'll see the music notes in there as well. So it's in writing, but I don't know what it is yet, so I'm going to not be able to tell you as I do it. Yeah, I'm coming to you from a little island called Koh Phayam in Thailand near the Burmese border. And what's going on? It's the 7th of January here, maybe the 6th where you are, which means it's the 1 year anniversary of the attack on the Capitol building in the United States. And what seems to be happening is the shit is hitting the fan in 15 different ways. The turds are flying, and they're all flying straight at the fan, and some of them have already hit, and some are about to hit. And it seems like every day brings news of some either dramatic worsening of a pre-existing situation or a new situation. I was reading an article in Rolling Stone. I forget the exact title, but it's something like, you know, we're screwed. The fuse has blown. It's about an ice shelf in Antarctica. And essentially this giant piece of ice holds back a glacier. There's a glacier, as you know, is an ice river. And there's this giant wall between this glacier and the ocean, and the wall is crumbling. And once the wall goes, then the glacier empties into the ocean quite quickly. I've seen it happen. It's a pretty amazing thing. Now, of course, quickly in glacial terms, so we're talking about years, 5 years maybe. But the point is that the wall separating this giant glacier is being undermined. The water is coming in under it, and it's starting to fail. And once it fails and this glacier empties into the ocean, we're looking at a rapid rise of sea level of 10 to 15 to 30 feet, which means Florida is underwater. It means Washington, D.C., Manhattan, lower Manhattan at least, lots of Brooklyn, lots of Bangladesh, various cities all around the world are going to be underwater in a matter of months. Once it starts, it's very fast. Have a nice day. So there's that. And as I started out saying, the fucking Capitol a year ago, you've got people shitting on the floor, stealing laptops from congresswomen and, you know, running around with Confederate flags and all the rest of the nonsense that most of us are familiar with. And yet half the people in the United States don't believe it happened or think that it was a false flag operation, that it was a bunch of hippies pretending to be Trump supporters. you've got a major revolution happening right now in Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan, which might sound like, who gives a fuck? It's, you never heard of it. It's the middle of nowhere. Well, it's the size of Europe. It's huge. It's, I think, the seventh or eighth largest country in the world in terms of land mass. It's a major source of energy. And the Russians have sent troops in. People are in the streets burning down government offices. Shit's just going crazy. Meanwhile, Omicron is spreading. The island that we're on, the government came out a couple days ago and tested all the Thai people on the island and found a bunch of cases. And now there's talk about shutting down the island, not letting more people come to the island. The whole country of Thailand is more or less shut down right now. We got in sort of just under the wire. And, you know, who knows what's happening, if they're going to let us off the island or let us out of the country. I don't know what's going on. Although I got to tell you, if you're going to be stuck somewhere, this is a pretty nice place to be stuck. So there's all this shit going on politically, environmentally, so many different levels. And I think we're all exhausted. I was thinking about this podcast and my energy level, my enthusiasm. And I've been feeling recently like I'm not as hyped up about it as I have been. And of course, part of that could just be I've been doing this for a long time. This is like 9 years or something I've been doing this podcast. And so maybe I'm just tired. But I think it's not that, because there's so much value that comes into my life through this podcast. And I'm not talking about monetary value. I make between $2,000 and $4,000 a month from the podcast, depending if I have a sponsor or how many people buy things on Amazon in a given month or whatever. It's not a huge amount of money. I don't do it for the money. The money helps, and I am very grateful for it, for those of you who support the podcast financially in one way or another. I'm very grateful for that. But the primary value that this brings to me is you. I could go through the, 30 people who are closest to me in my life right now, and probably 25 of them came to me through the podcast. I can't begin to calculate how much beauty and love and friendship and generosity has come into my life through this channel. And that's why I do it. And it gives me the opportunity to spread that around as well, to introduce you to each other, either in meetups or just in my personal life where, friends of mine know other friends of mine. In the intro snippets that you send, it's so cool to hear other people and what they're doing and where they are and what's going on. I just fucking love it. It feels like such a privilege to be able to do this. So I was thinking, like, why am I not as energized about it as I have been? And like I said, I think part of it's just everybody's feeling exhausted. Just the constant sense of crisis, the constant screaming and fighting and anxiety and just, it's weird to be talking about anxiety on a fucking tropical island where I'm hanging out in hammocks most of the time. but I think that another part of it is that because of the virus, I started doing a lot of remote interviews. And as those of you who have listened to this podcast for a while know, I really resisted doing that. That's kind of standard for most podcasts who interview format. people have been doing it for a long time and the technology's gotten much better. But still, I fucking hate it. I really don't like... Now it's enigmatic because I was going to say I don't like communicating through devices. But here I am communicating with you through devices, obviously. And I'm comfortable with the microphone. And what I'm not comfortable with, I hate talking on phones, for example. Like, my friends know, I never answer the phone. Like, if you want to talk to me, if we need to have a real-time conversation, text me and we'll agree on a time and we'll do it. And even then, I'm reluctant. But I just fucking hate talking on phones. I used the old style phones were fine, like with cables and buttons and things. Because I could fucking hear who I was talking to. The connection was great. I'm talking in the fucking 1970s and 80s. But cell phones, I can't stand them. But my point is not to be an old man whining. My point is that doing these interviews through the computer, it just feels like there's no juice. It's so remote, not to be punny about this, but it feels clinical. There's no chemistry. I feel like if I'm in the room with someone, I'm meeting them actually. You know what I mean? I'm actually with them. And I feel like that comes through in the quality of the conversation that we're having. It comes through in my experience because, you know, when Wim Hof's son said, okay, sure, you know, Wim would love to be on your podcast. It's, you know, when should we arrange to connect? How can we do this? I was like, no, dude, I'll come to Holland because I want to meet this dude. And then what happens? I go there. I go out to their house. Wim and I sit down. We have this great conversation. And then he says, hey, you want to get in the ice barrel? And I'm like, fuck yeah. And I'm in the ice barrel. And then we do a sauna. And then we're back in the ice barrel. And then we're back in the sauna. And then he says, hey, I'm going to be in Spain next week. You want to hang out? Yeah, fuck yeah, I want to hang out. And next thing you know, I'm friends with Wim, with his son, with his daughter. And I've seen him half a dozen times since then. That's why I do the podcast. It would have been fine, I guess, to sit down in front of a computer and see Wim in the screen and have our conversation, but I wouldn't have felt what it's like to be in a room with Wim Hof. I wouldn't have become friends with him. And that's a very different thing, I imagine, from your perspective, to listen to two people looking in each other's eyes and getting to know each other as opposed to two people looking into a computer screen. And so I guess what I'm saying is that I have felt like I'm not delivering to you the quality that I know I should be and can be and have delivered to you. And so I felt bad about that. And I feel like there's no way around it in some ways, but it has worn me down a little bit. So I think that what I am going to do going forward is shift the podcast a little bit away from the interview format and not feel, you know, I felt like, okay, do a Roma every once in a while, do a Toma every once in a while, do one of these book, what makes this book great thing every once in a while. But I felt sort of an obligation to deliver, you know, at least three or four interview format episodes every month. And then, you know, throw in these other things occasionally. And I think that what I'm going to do is shift to more doing these other things on a regular basis, with the interviews being less frequent, and return to my old style of only doing in-person interviews, except for the rare exception where, you know, it's somebody that I really want to connect with so much that I'm willing to do it remotely. But I feel like an in-person conversation with some random person that I just happen to meet is much more interesting than a remote conversation with a famous author or actor or something like that. I don't know. I don't know if you agree with this. I don't, everybody's got different feelings about things, but that's how it feels to me. I really like just getting to know somebody who's interesting, and how famous they are or how rich they are or how whatever they are, I don't give a shit. That's not what it's about. It's about connecting with the humanity of the person and bringing that to you, sharing that with you. That's what I really want to do. That's what really gets me off about this podcast. So I'm going to, that is the cleaning lady just came to the cabana. So anyway, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do more of that. I'm going to do more book stuff. I'm going to do more ranting and talking about what's happening in the world right now, whatever I've been thinking about, more of that sort of thing. I'm going to do more Tomas. People have been asking me for Tomas. And I see, the funny thing is, like, I get emails of people saying, I really listen to your podcast for the intros. That's what I like. I like the Romas. I like the Tomas. The conversations, okay, but that's not really why I'm here. That's great, and that's super encouraging, because that's exactly what I'm thinking. But I don't know how representative those people are. I don't know if those people, you know, are the majority, or those are just the people who happen to write me emails. What the fuck is going on? There's a lot of noise happening all of a sudden. This is the problem with recording on the road. You plug in a microphone and suddenly everything starts exploding.
Yo solo un pedazo de sueño y le han regalado temblores de adentro. Por el camino canto un bolero y el que pensaba cantarle primero. De paredes de un cuarto viejo, perdidos por allá por el centro. Mordió su corazón y le dijo, la vida es un juego, es un sueño. Si la dejan bailar, tremendo lío para qué mirar. Si la dejan bailar, tremendo lío para qué mirar. Mulata, 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 mulata. Un beso de ella es como una nube que sube, que sube. Como ella hay poca gente que vive, que sueña y que ríe. Pero hay que encontrarla. Le compró la luna y el miedo. Perdidos por allá por el centro. Y con su risa gritó en silencio. La vida es un juego. Es un juego. Si la dejan bailar. Tremendo lío para qué mirar. Si la dejan bailar. Tremendo lío para qué mirar. Mulata, 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 mulata. Y dijo mía, bailando seguía y sigue bailando. El miedo fue matando los días y él perdió su risa. de tanto intentarlo. Y sin remedio se acabaría, perdidos por acá, por el centro. Mientras se iba dijo en un beso, la vida es un sueño, un sueño, un sueño. Si la deja bailar, tremendo lío para qué mirar. Si la deja bailar, tremendo lío para qué mirar. Si la deja bailar,
to what extent that's real or just a perceptual thing, but it seems like every time I start recording, things get really noisy. It's probably just because you're not paying attention when you're not recording. Anyway, that's what I'm planning to do. I hope it's okay with you. I hope, let me know what you think. I've got a few interviews already in the bag that I'm going to be releasing shortly. One of them I recorded in person in California before I left, with my Uncle Dan, who I've had on before, and my Aunt Dot, Dorothy Ann, his sister. That one we recorded at the table, so that's got that personal touch, plus it's my aunt and uncle, so it's very, very personal. They're awesome people. They're, in some ways, after my mom and dad, they are the male and female role model that I'm closest to, and I've always been closest to growing up. So that's really interesting for me, and I hope for you. And then I have two interviews in the can with authors, both of which I agreed to hold the release until their book comes out. So one of them is Rachel Krantz, who wrote a book called Open about her open relationship, BDSM power dynamic experience. It's a very interesting book, very confessional and intimate and vulnerable. So that's a very interesting conversation. And the other is with Harley Rustad, who wrote a book about my friend Justin disappearing in India. And I recorded that a couple months ago, actually, and agreed to hold it until January when the book comes out. So those two are in the can. They'll be coming, or those three are in the can. They'll be coming this month. And then we'll just see what happens. So in the meantime, I'm going to try to get more in the habit of doing more Romas, more Tomas, more music-based episodes. I'd like to do some episodes of like some of my favorite cover songs and explain why I think these cover versions illuminate elements in the song that the original may not. You've heard me talk about that before, Hey Ya, I talk about that a lot with that song. But that same sort of pattern exists with a lot of other cover songs. And I'm going to do more Tomas. I have a list of 25, 30 travel stories that I would love to tell and just never got around to. Yeah, it's different. When I was living alone, I would get into this headspace, this sort of solitude headspace, which made me feel the presence of you a lot more. I don't know if that makes sense. Maybe it's like being on stage in a play, okay? And if there are a bunch of actors all on the stage interacting, you know, reading dialogue, doing all this stuff, you can kind of forget about the audience. Maybe you have to forget about the audience, right? Just to remember your lines and not fuck up. And that's how I feel when there's a lot going on in my life. And when I have a lot of alone time, then I become aware of you, of the audience, the presence of the audience. So maybe it's like an actor being alone on stage and there's nobody to be interacting with. And then it's just you and the audience. And so there's this different kind of dynamic. Maybe that's because I know there was a time when I did a lot of Romas and Tomas and stuff. And I really looked forward to it. You know, I would sort of be like, okay, I'm going to finish this. I was working on Civilized to Death and like, okay, I'm going to finish this chapter and then I'm going to pour myself a glass of wine and sit down and, you know, tell this story and just be here with you, this sort of silent but very present stadium full of people, strangely, who are totally present and totally absent simultaneously, you know, ranging from the woman in the Yukon who's sitting in her cabin right now, who sent me the voice memo the other a couple weeks ago, to, you know, the guy in Bolivia and the people in Australia and travelers in Vietnam and English teachers all over the world, and just this incredible group of people who I know are out there. I've heard from you. I know you're hearing these words. It's fucking bizarre. And connecting with you is such a privilege and feels so fucking awesome to me. So I want to get more into that again. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I guess I'll leave it at that. So I imagine I've already inserted one tune and I'm going to insert another tune here at the end. I'm not going to play the normal thing with my mom and Carsey. I think what I'm going to play you out with, I'm going to play you out with something from a very strange, beautiful CD that someone gave me years ago when I was first teaching in Barcelona. So this would have been the early 90s. This guy, I forget his name, he was a British guy and he taught in the same school I did. And we used to talk about music and he gave me this, I don't even remember if maybe it was a cassette or a CD. I don't know, but it was called the KLF Chill Out. And the KLF was this band, this kind of enigmatic band, kind of like Massive Attack, where like no one is really sure exactly who's in the band and who isn't and what they're doing. I don't know a whole lot about them. I remember I looked them up and they sort of played concerts, and I think they were kind of like an very anti-commercial, anti-establishment, Banksy kind of vibe. And if I remember correctly, in their last concert, they burned $1 million or pounds on stage in this like colossal act of fuck commercialism. Anyway, that guy gave me this CD called the KLF Chill Out, and it's this sort of pastiche of various sounds and songs and things picked up on AM radio in the middle of the night and news reports and all woven together, and there's a train running through the whole thing. And it's just super atmospheric and strangely moving, and I love it. I still listen to it. God, what's that? 30 years ago? 30 years ago. I'm still listening to it and still loving it and still entranced by it. So I'm going to play something from that. I'm not sure which song yet, but that's what it is. It's from the KLF Chill Out. I don't know if it's commercially available anywhere. If it isn't and you would like to hear more, I guess send me an email and I will figure out. I'll upload it somewhere and send you a link so you can download it. I guess I can do that. It's probably illegal, but this seems like the kind of band that they're definitely not going to be suing me for distributing their tunes, I guess. Anyway, that's enough. I'm rambling. I'll be back with you soon. Thank you for listening to this. And thank you for hanging out. Those of you who are new, welcome. Those of you who've been here for a while, it's fucking awesome. Glad to have you here. And yeah, I hope you stick around for the rest of the ride. Ciao.
On a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child.